This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George and Dave. And we're going to talk today about a trend that I'm seeing, and I want people to be aware of it and alert to it. You know, we've seen the UN encroach on our constitutional rights as American citizens. It's been a stepwise approach. It started off with globalism and how we're bad because we have so much and everybody in the world has so little and we should share it and come down to the world's level. And it sounds, as all Americans, most people are pretty giving and generous. And it plays into a guilt factor that I think we've been duped and we've been led to believe that, just like the whole society, I think, if I have something and I worked for it, then I don't deserve it somehow, and I've taken it away from somebody else. And that seems to be the mantra or the mindset that's trying to be that the government, that the UN is trying to indoctrinate us with. And, you know, we've, as a country, I think we've worked really hard. I mean, we have a work ethic. We don't take a month vacation like they do in some of the socialist countries in Europe. And people basically take a week and they work hard, and that's where the wealth is made from hard work. And, you know, it's not our fault that Africa is the way it is or China is the way it was or anything of that nature. But we've been led to believe that we're evil and it's our fault. And we've seen it economically. Now we're about to see it medically. I don't know if anybody listened to, I don't know if anybody watches MSNBC, but Melissa Harris Perry, which I honestly believe shouldn't be on TV and probably shouldn't be in college as an academic either, stated something that was just so horrific that I have to touch base. I have to talk about it. It was about children up to the age 3 are not considered to be alive, and if parents wanted to terminate them, then that would be okay because, you know, life begins when parents believe that they begin. I mean, what is that? I mean, I've just... So it's okay to murder children now up to age 3, it sounds like. And that is, I don't know if it's a UN doctrine, but in a lot of these developed countries, you know, they don't consider children to be live births until sometimes up to age 6, which is astonishing to me. But it seems like we're going down the same path. And these bioethicists are coming out of the woodwork 24/7, making pronouncements about the fact that life is cheap, that children don't count, that it's okay to murder them, and there's no ethical question mark about that. And if our government starts to believe that, then where does it put us as human beings and as human beings? Forget about Americans. I mean, how do you justify destroying a life at all, but especially after the child's born? That's murder. What are they trying to change the definition of murder now?
You know, I know that in your residency and so forth that you did a OB stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate one time in the back of an ambulance as an EMT to deliver a baby. But I have never had such a thrill in my life as my first son and my second son. But it just, I mean, and I can't fathom. It was such a blessing. They come out, and even though we've had the sonograms, you have all of the stuff,
mm-hmm.
until that baby is born, just as that baby is born and you see life, real life, I mean vital life, and all the fingers and toes and everything's there. It's so inspiring. I don't know. I can't describe it. As fantastic as that is the 180 degrees of death and how that ends. I mean,
right.
It's the last breath.
Exactly.
Give up the ghost, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
The finality of death. And the opposite is the birth that just, and how somebody, I can't imagine. There's an article about a Muslim that that beat his daughter and killed her recently and burned her. And, you know, I just, how can, I can't get to it. It's not in my head.
Because you have a conscience and a soul, obviously. I mean, this is, life is now considered to be cheap. I mean, we've talked about how we should try to emulate China, and they care less about human life. I mean, they will take infants from that are born.
Particularly girls.
Especially girls, and kill them in front of the parents. I mean, this is what goes on while our media doesn't do anything to really highlight the fact that we should not be emulating a communist country who, by all rights, whatever, but from my take on it, and it's my opinion, a lot of things that they've gotten has been from cheating, from stealing, and from taking what we do and making a cheaper version of it and have us sign off on our own demise because we're so interested in getting cheap crap from China that we've made Walmart mega, mega millionaires. And God all knows these stores would just read your labels and see how much stuff comes from China and how long it lasts. And
they're taking life just like they take items, that it's now a throwaway item.
Well, a billion plus people, life is cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't understand how we've gone 180 degrees as a country from being proud of being American to not being able to sing the national anthem in schools, to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Where does all this stuff coming from? How is it now so ingrained in our society within a generation? I said the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm not old, not that old. First, second, third grade, I remember doing it. It's a flag in the classroom. You could put a flag on your shirt.
If you got to hold a flag that day that you were chosen to hold a flag.
Oh, that was a good day.
That was a big time thing.
Yeah. You get to lead the Pledge of Allegiance in the class. Yeah. I mean, but there's nothing holding us together now, really, as a society. And what holds us together is pop culture, not American culture. And what they've managed to try to do, and I would love to sit in one of these classrooms now, just to hear what goes on. Because it's not about history or civics. It's about, you know, global warming and snitching on your parents that they don't turn their lights off, you know, and if you wear a shirt that has an opinion and you got to change it or you get kicked out or you make a terroristic threat if you have a water gun. Are you kidding? Some little kid had some sort of nail file or something and got kicked out of school. I mean, it's just gone to the point of beyond stupidity where you cannot say anything of substance because you'll offend somebody. Now the atheists are up in arms because the chaplains in the military are doing their job. If you can't, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to not talk about God or Jesus Christ if you are
They want an atheist Christian chaplain. Isn't that an oxymoron?
I think they want them out. They want them not to, to muzzle them. Okay, you can't give sacrament.
I saw too that they
want them out.
The atheists want their own chaplains now.
What are they? How does that work? I mean, it's like up is down.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
But they want to be able to have someone lead, quote unquote, a group or whatever.
Sounds like Satanism, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to be leading?
It's,
you don't believe in God, so what are you?
They want their own chaplains. And you know, when I was in the service, you never knew whether you were going to get a priest or a rabbi or what when you went to a service, because they did change, and the same person was not always there every Sunday. But no matter what, it was still a very good time for me and for a lot of other service people. You just went. It was away from everything else, and you were still in your fatigues and all of that, but it was still a time that was very peaceful, and you looked for it.
It's about reflection. Military. You know, if you can't carve out, and everybody, this is the whole point of the country. Freedom to worship as you choose. This is not the case in the military, and if they're going to do it there, where does it stop? Mm-hmm. All right, so what people, this is such an interesting time to live in. Because you have people who are so caught up in their own drama, and it's okay to do it to the other guy, And what people need to realize, if they do it to the least of us, they do it to all of us, and they're coming for you. Back in the day when I was, you know, I was a kid, or, you know, let's say in the 60s, when they had all these race riots and people were being picked up and lots of police brutality, nobody said anything in the suburbs. Now it's happening to everybody. So you can get stopped by the police, get your head beaten in. There's one story that I read where a college co-ed was walking home, right? She had a drink, you know, they went to a party, whatever. But she happened to walk in between a policeman and a car that was stopped. And she gave him a little lip. She ended up with broken ribs, a bruised jaw, double teeth missing. I mean, she didn't do anything. She wasn't a criminal. She didn't commit a crime. They ended up dropping the charges, but this is where we're standing at. And you can no longer wall yourself off into thinking that it's okay if it happens to somebody. It's not good if it happens to anyone. And I wrote an article a couple of days ago about the cost of Obamacare. And part of it was, you know, the cost of people who happen to be getting government assistance. And, you know, 40% of the country, 49% of the country is getting government assistance of some sort at this point. And my argument was, once Obamacare takes over and once they tie us into this socialized grid, everybody becomes a cost center. So if you cost more because you have heart disease, you're obese, you're elderly, whatever their reasoning behind it is, they're going to try to control your behavior by social engineering. The best way to do it is to control what you eat, because obesity now is a disease. It's not a condition anymore. It's a disease. So now it's a whole nother level. Now it's, of course, it's been, you know how these things work. It's an epidemic. We have to control everybody. The Big Gulp situation in New York is just the beginning of the end. And what they're going to do is eventually tie what you buy to your EBT card, you know, your credit card for your government assistance. They'll make it so you can't buy things like soda or cigarettes, or it's coming. Why wouldn't anybody think that wouldn't be coming? So I was called an alarmist. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm a realist and I'm a critical thinker. And I know how this thing works. No law has ever been passed in this country that recently anyway, that gives you more rights. It gives you less rights. I don't think of any. Can you think of anything that's been passed that's been about giving people more freedom?
Not by the federal, well, not by
recently.
Federal or state government.
No, actually, it's been encroaching on the Constitution 24/7, and really very disappointing when they doubled down on the NSA being able to snoop through your emails and God knows what else. They had a chance to pull this thing back. And the guy who wrote the Patriot Act now has remorse. He wrote the stupid thing. What did he think was going to happen? If you give the government that kind of power, they're going to take it, they're going to keep it, and they're going to abuse it. And now he's like, oh, it wasn't supposed to be used for this, whining. Give me a break. So anybody who thinks that healthcare won't work the same way is deluding themselves, because it costs a ton of money, and it shouldn't. And it's just so disgusting just to see this thing happen.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about your topic in the UN. And this is the Agenda 21. Is that
part of Agenda 21 and the World Health Organization, yeah, and eugenics and culling the herd? It's all about that.
Let's take that break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold, and avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George, and we're having a cerebral conversation today about...
It's giving me a headache.
Well, I just want people to think on a bigger level, on a larger scale, instead of the minutiae, because that's where we get caught up on the motion side of this thing.
How has the UN... In your opinion, the UN and their Agenda 21, and for lack of better words, worm their way in or weasel their way in to making our, if not laws, at least our procedures, and it's like the small arms agreement.
Yep.
It's like what we can do and what we can't do in food, in medicine. How do you think they've wormed their way into to our society like they have?
Well, they have satellites that are in our government. We have congressmen, we have lobbyists, we have people in the administration who are globalists and think that the UN should run everything. And if you and the World Health Organization and all of these, IMF, these are all UN satellite institutions that centralize power. And I've noticed there's a trend. You started with these unions, European Union, Caribbean Union. I think we already have a North American Union, technically. They're just not saying. Otherwise, why would they be trying to pass this immigration bill where you can just go ad lib through, you know, United States seems to be the fulcrum. But anybody can do what they want and travel freely, except the United States citizens who actually take a back seat in all of this. So all of these unions are driven by centralized governments. You know, you have Germany as kind of a seat, Belgium, whatever that European seat. And we're now, they're making us, or this is the transitioning of us into that system. And they're doing it. You know, they've made our economy, we've helped in a big way make our economy driven by the banks. That whole TARP situation was a major movement away from sovereignty to being owned by somebody. There is no reason, in my opinion, and if you really think about it, that we should have bailed out those banks. They didn't do anything for the money. And now there's another, we're seeing a transfer of wealth to the banks, not to rich people. That's how they, as I said, take your eye off the small picture. Stop being led by your emotion. It's not about rich versus poor. It's not about black versus white. It's not about north versus south. It's about the haves and the have-nots. And there's a lot more have-nots being created with this system. First, it was everybody needs to buy a house. Remember under Bush? That was a huge deal. I remember stories where people were trading sex for mortgages. There was like a whole scam about that. They were signing people up. The bankers were getting commissions for signing up people who should never have been able to buy a house, and they didn't help themselves. And there's this whole culture of one-upping and McMansion, and it just played into the biggest flaw of humankind, which is pride and greed, and people just went whole hog for it. Well, they're doing it again. Now, yeah, everybody has to go to college. everybody doesn't have to go to college. And what happens is you end up in these loans that you'll pay until you're 90, and then your kids will end up paying for them. It's the same principle. You end up sticking people into a system where they owe something, then they're going to default on it. So now you have another round of these housing. The mindset, the meme is now, it's a great time to buy. The housing market's back up. Now time to get a house if you don't already have one. Well, that thing's going to crash down the road again. So you're getting a double dip of suckering people into, you know, mortgages and money they can never pay back, and their wealth is gone.
Let me add an insult to the injury already. It's, you know, the thing of changing or switching the wealth from the poor or, you know, transferring wealth. The sad part is you've got people like yourself and my family that are the suckers that we pay I had to borrow money to put my kids through college. We're paying it back.
Mm-hmm.
So our penalty of paying it back and paying it on time and paying it per schedule is that they've raised the interest. And then you've got the other people that just default on them and say, well, you know, I have nothing anyway, so sue me.
Well, you know, I'm going to make an argument for those folks. They went in thinking they're going to get a job, all right? They were promised, if you get an education, you'll get a job. Well, you're not getting a job. And so now you're stuck with huge bill.
I have no problem with that as long as it's not underwater basket weaving. Some of the degrees that they can get today are, you know, you can understand why they don't get jobs.
Well, I'm going to argue for them on this one. A lot of it is medical assistance. You know, it's all about the medical industry growing leaps and bounds. Well, they're not getting jobs either.
Nope.
They're certainly not getting in the private sector because private docs are going out of business. There's only so many MAs you can hire for a hospital. So now you've gone for your 6-month, 8-month, whatever month training, and you don't have a job, so you're screwed. So I think there's a fair number of people who did it because they really bought into the idea of, I can improve myself. Because if I get a college education, this jingle that goes on for 5 minutes, you can make $100,000 more in your lifetime, whatever it was. It will sell to people.
Sure.
Instead of telling them, and not everybody should go to college. It's not for everybody, honestly. Maybe you should become an electrician. I mean, there's other jobs out there, for example, in the tech sector. And I don't mean IT. I mean, you know, gosh, plumbing, electrician.
You can make a bajillion dollars today, literally.
I know, being a plumber, electrician.
Being a plumber, electrician.
Yeah.
Working on cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question.
And if you like working with your hands, then that's where you should go.
And you know what? It's not a negative value to it. You know?
No.
You know, sitting behind a desk, like certain people on TV, wasting space is not adding to society. But you know, helping somebody have their car work properly or not have their house blow up because you're an electrician and help build stuff is actually really important. So we've gotten to this mindset of this, you don't have to work for your money. There's a shortcut. You don't have to get your hands dirty. There's something bad if you want to. It's just kind of, we've bought into this celebrity pop culture crap where you don't create anything. You don't do anything. The only claim to fame is something, some shady, you know, sketchy stuff that goes on. If you look at MTV at all, I know you probably don't,
no.
And I try not to look at it as much as possible because it is disturbing, but half the stuff on there for people who've done nothing, maybe a sex tape, maybe, you know, something stupid, and they're actually making tons of money. They're drunk 24/7, and they actually have shows, and these are what the kids watch and want to be. I didn't want to emulate any of that. Well, it wasn't on TV when I was a kid. But I am wanting to emulate my mom and dad. What happened to the parents in all this? But they're too busy living their own lives. It's like two parallel existences. And, you know, I love the computer. I'm a techie at heart. But it can't replace, you know, human interaction. And that's what we're coming to. And when you divorce yourself from human interaction, then you can get away with saying things like, you know, life begins when parents feel that it begins. Stupid things like that, because people would call you on it. But they're so busy in this alternate reality of it's all virtual, you know?
Did you hear Pelosi's last comment?
No, I can't handle it. What'd she say? What idiotic thing now?
That mothers shouldn't be strapped with the responsibility of taking care of their kids.
What? What was the context of that?
She was giving some speech yesterday or day before that mothers shouldn't be strapped with the responsibility of taking care of their kids. You know, and unfortunately, there are a lot of mothers that feel that way. And I can't, again, I can't fathom it. I can't believe, and I'm very fortunate with my wife and have a lot of friends that feel the same way. I can't imagine a lady having a child, carrying a child, having a child that wouldn't be just beyond thrilled.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to have a child, not just because you want something to love, but because you want them to have better than you had. You know, you want to give them everything. You want to
And you want to raise them. I don't want
kindergarten
to raise my kid.
No, I agree with that. But this is where we're moving. The state is the parent, and the UN is the super parent. So they get to decide the ICD-9 codes. We talk about this, you know, a lot on the show. But that's the coding system that decides how hospitals and doctors get paid. Well, that didn't just come out of Congress. That came from the UN. And we're the last country to sign on to the ICD-10 module, which is it's completely ridiculous. It's 140,000 codes. Nobody's ever going to know what the hell they're putting on there. And it's all about time. They're trying to transition us from fee-for-service to time. So it's not – you get paid by global, like the time that you spend with the patient. Doesn't matter what procedure you do. Doesn't matter how complicated – how doesn't matter how much decision-making that you really have to make with a complex patient. Doesn't matter. That's all gone now. Now it becomes $20 for 20 minutes. Doesn't matter if you're an ENT, neurosurgeon, whatever. That's what they're trying to get us onto. And the people, they want us, the people who know what it was like, out of the way. Either retire us, fold us into the hospital system where we lose power completely, you become a cog in the wheel, or, and for the time being, I hope they'll allow people to go a separate track where you just pay me and I'm outside the system completely. But if there's too many of us doing that, I have a feeling that they're going to come down hard and get rid of that because it becomes an alternate path. And people with any means will decide, I don't want to be in this crappy system. I'm going to pay for the privilege of actually being treated like a human being, and they're going to drop out of the system. If it becomes a big conflict of or a real alternative, I guarantee it'll be shut down. Either they'll tie it to our license, either they will... Well, wait us out until we die off and then train the doctors coming behind. They're already doing that, by the way. Train the doctors that are coming behind us not to be entrepreneurial, not to be critical thinkers. Just follow algorithms. Just do 9-to-5. Just get it done and get them out. And a conveyor belt mentality. You know, the people who actually do have the mindset of the Dr. Welby mindset are not going into medicine. You know, they're going somewhere else.
I do have 2 cents worth of good news, I think. Let's do it when we come back. Mm-hmm. But I think I want to find out if you're seeing some of the same things. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is Michael Gano with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you Insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure, in some cases, are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards, and remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Dave and I were having a great conversation in the break, I'll try to share as much as I can with you. But we were talking about, how do you stop this train? I mean, I don't see this as negative. I see this as knowledge is power. If you have knowledge, you can make conscious decisions and you can opt out. I've said this multiple times. The way to stop this, it's not Congress. They could care less. Do not depend on Congress to stop Obamacare. Please.
It doesn't
affect them. It's not going to happen. No. I mean, they're trying to figure out any way they can keep what they have, which is this separate track, which just doesn't apply to this, and add their pages and their insistence to it. They're disgusting. Don't play the game. Opt out. Don't go into these exchanges. If you don't go into them, then they don't work. They won't be able to capture you. Once you're in an exchange, and once enough people are in the exchange, the private insurance will stop doing business. They'll be out of business, and then it will become the only game in town, effectively single payer. And I don't know if it was Dr. Orient or I forgot. Somebody from AAPS wrote an article about this, which I think it was Dr. Villette, I think. But the point was of the article was that Medicaid expansion is single payer. They just changed the name on us. And once they sign enough people and give the candy to the child, the state, of I'll give you millions of dollars if you just expand your Medicaid rolls, that's the dumbest thing a state could possibly do. One, it'll never be able to afford it because it's never going to work. And two, once they've expanded it, the commercial insurance companies will stop doing business, and they're actually going to kill them and put them out of business. And then the only game in town will be the government insurance, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare, and then they win. And they're dying to get the young people to sign on. That's why they have this celebrity push. Like, they're so young people are morons. If Kim Kardashian tells you to do something, you just do it. What are you, stupid? Really? I'm sorry. I just have to go there. I mean, what kind of person would just drop what they're doing and, like some sort of drone, do what these people say when they don't even have to enter the system? Do you honestly think Kim Kardashian or any of that ilk is going to join an exchange for healthcare? Really? You know, when you join first, then I'll start thinking about it. And when Congress does it first, maybe I'll consider it. That should be everybody's mindset. If it's not good enough for you, why the hell is it good enough for me? I mean, they've told you, they've written this into the bill that the president on down does not have to enter an exchange ever. What do they get? They get a separate track. And that's why the government unions are so pissed, because they threw them under the bus. Now they're supposed to have to join an exchange, and they don't like that. It was great when everybody was going to pay for them, but it's not great when they have to join the rest of the crowd.
Didn't you like the IRS, who's supposed to be responsible for, and their union is raising hell having to join? I love it.
Poor you. Yeah. And then you have the FBI to come and be the I guess, the criminal arm of this. If you don't, if for example, when everybody is mandated and they join, in their best case scenario, everybody will join. But if you try to cheat on your tax return and you try to get a subsidy, the FBI will be coming to pick you up. You know, they're working in tandem with the IRS. If you think that you now have some sort of anonymity. You know, you're just a good citizen, you're paying your tax. You know, you are on the radar. If you decide you want to have a, you know, if you're allowed to actually, a yard sale, and you make some extra money on that and you don't claim it, they're coming for you. Now I understand why they started picking up the kids with the lemonade stands, etc., because it's money that's off the books. Nothing can be off the books in this system. If you get a second job just to help make Christmas, that might opt you out of subsidies because you made too much that year, and they'll get you the next year. So it's not like you can – this is not all walled off like it's year to year to year. It's cumulative. So if you overpay one year, you get your money back in credit. They don't give you cash now. You're not getting a check back. It just gets applied to the next year. And God forbid it's the opposite where you underpaid. Well, it's gone. And they're not going to wait for you to write the check. It's going to come out of your ACH debit. It's coming directly from your account. You don't even get to see this money. So it's just like Social Security coming out. It's just like Medicare coming out and Medicaid coming out. It's just another deduction from your paycheck. So you don't even have the option of, I'll just float it, I'll pay it a little late. No, it's gone. You don't even get to see it. So let's say you are a nice, healthy young person. What do you gain from this thing? By the time you get to be a senior citizen and you're about to get your Social Security and your Medicare, it's probably not even going to be there. And this definition, what I just described, is a Ponzi scheme. You pay in and you don't get a thing out. But it's the government doing it to you. And you can't put the government in jail, can you? So do you really, really want to sign up for something like that? Forget about the medical side of it. We're talking about the economics itself. It doesn't work.
You know, like we've talked many times before, how do we get people to understand a very – it's very simple. It's not like it's brain
surgery.
Stop
thinking you're going to get something for nothing. Get out of that mindset. As I talked to you in the break, this is what we said in the break. If you have – it's a $600 fine if you don't join the exchange. Well, that's actually cheaper, quite frankly, because if you did join the exchange and you did pay the premium, which for a family is estimated to be about, I don't know, $20,000, then, you know, you paying $600 or, you
it's
know,
a
it's,
deal.
Even if you paid $600 per person in your family, it's still a better deal because you're paying $20,000 for a family of four plus a deductible. So what people don't understand, and I'll say it a million times, health insurance does not equal health care. All it does is provide you, you're paying out and hoping you get something back because they get to deny you, they get to pre-certify you, they get to ration you, and they get to make you pay for the privilege. And that's called a deductible.
We're already seeing it. I'm sure you're seeing it as well, or have seen it already. The number of things that they're beginning to limit.
Oh, sure.
Colonoscopies, I understand, are on the list that may be taken off. And, you know, when they came out with taking off mammograms.
Well, they tried that one.
Yeah.
And PSA test. And, you know, what they're going to decide is, with their little boards, what gets covered. They tried to stop mammograms and PSA, but there was such an uproar from the specialty societies that say you're not doing this. This is just totally unacceptable. They back down. But that's only one. They'll keep trying. And there'll be other things like cataract surgery, like hip replacements, like tonsillectomies, which
shoulder.
Really aren't done that much anymore anyway.
Remind me, I want to show you something on shoulder surgery.
Sure.
Yeah, get your opinion on it.
I mean, back surgery. That even, you know, we've already talked about this in hospitals. If you're a senior citizen, or God forbid you come up with a trauma, catastrophic, and by the textbooks, you're not going to recover, or you're going to cost too much, and the benefit the cost outweighs the benefit of you staying alive. Those ethics boards are coming to get you. Look about that lady who was, this is really sad, it's almost like a horror movie, where she was in a coma. She wasn't in a coma, she was unconscious. But the doctors deemed that she was not going to recover. The nurses were like, you know, she's doing really well. She's getting better. They didn't listen to the nurses. So they had the lady on the OR for organ harvesting, and she woke up. I'm like, she was one step away from being vivisected.
Huh.
And, you know, my God, that's like something I've seen on TV, you know, in a movie somewhere. But it's just, these things are real now.
Right before she got the...
Right before they're about to make the incision. And there you go. She moved. And they stopped.
Were they going to anesthetize her before they did the surgery?
They said she was brain dead. You know, who knows? The thought of that, Dave, I don't even want to think about that. Because that's even sicker. But
that's Dr.
I would
Jekyll,
sue the hell out of them.
I mean,
can you imagine?
No.
No, I mean, that would just scar you for life. And the family members were, like, pushed into signing for the organ donation. But the bottom line is, you are now being pushed. That the moral of the story was, the family didn't really want to do it. It was the hospital stating, she's not going to make it. You should donate the organs, pushing them, hurrying it along. Even the nursing staff were like, no, I don't. She's getting better. You really shouldn't do this. They just ignored them. So this is now about the hospital rights trumping patient rights. And this whole system is just, it's crazy. They're telling us stuff that we're working against our own interests in so many ways. And they're pushing us to do it by making our, you know, the reptilian brain turn on. Everybody's mad at somebody. Everybody's a victim. It's about fairness, all sorts of nonsense that they're coming up with. And no one's thinking clearly. Very few people are thinking clearly at this point because it's like this coming from all directions. And I do understand it seems overwhelming. Why try? I'm just one person. I'm just going to put my head down and get it done. But when you do that, you actually comply. And in my little world, in my opinion, and I don't think I'm alone, but this is my statement. Compliance is, it's complicity, right? You're working with them because you're not making a fuss, because you're going along and getting along. Do not expect that to help you and save you. And for those folks who think that, you know, if I just follow the system and double down and be part of it and be a good player, you know, that I'm going to be special. You're not. You're going down with the rest of us, okay? They're taking us out on emotional level, on an economic level, on a health level. If you don't stand up for yourself now, it may be too late down the road. I choose not to do that. I'm not alone, and I'm doing my darndest to try to find other folks who think like myself so that we can actually continue to make a difference.
You know, if I can throw something out, people need to talk to their people, mm-hmm. be it your family, be it your friend. You're going to the hospital. If your family's going with you, tell them what you think. If I'm on life support and there is no alternative, pull the plug and see if I make it. My dad did that, so it was an easy decision. But at the same token, if I, you know, like this lady, if I'm improving, don't let the hospital, don't let somebody come in and say, well, we really think you ought to talk to hospice and, you know, move you into. No, make sure your family, make sure you go with somebody, be it family or friend or whoever.
If you have to stay overnight with your loved one, do it.
In a heartbeat. You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't.
And this goes back, this isn't brand new either. This goes back, I know, 10, 12 years ago where there was in my family, there was my mother was supposed to be taking some tests, and in comes a lady trying to force food down her when she wasn't supposed to have food. And it's as simple as that. But because my sister was there, it was stopped. We got to take another break right quick. We'll do that, and we'll be back with Dr. Elena George right after this.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
Hi, everybody. It's Don Zabkar, your host for Who Knew? We air Mondays 2 to 3 on America's Web Radio. and then occasionally throughout the week. We've got some great subjects. This administration or this regime, as you know, is providing us with great material. So stay tuned. Check us out. America's Web Radio. It's Who Knew with Don Zapkar.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that an inability to lose weight can be due to an underactive thyroid gland? The thyroid gland is an important organ that controls the metabolism. Signs of an underactive thyroid gland include depression, hair loss, weight gain, a low blood pressure, feeling cold, constipation, and a lower libido. Risks for low thyroid function include iron deficiency, liver dysfunction, family history of thyroid disease, and an irregularity in the immune system. If you have noticed any of these symptoms, or you have noticed swelling in the front of your neck, or the collar of your shirt feels tight, you should see your doctor for further evaluation, including blood tests, to evaluate the levels of thyroid hormone in your bloodstream. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I wanted to give a citation for the first statement that I made at the beginning of the show about the fact that there are actually articles that talk about what they call post-birth abortion, which means infanticide, basically. And it comes out of the Journal of Medical Ethics. And there is a doctor, Alberto Giubilini, and Francesca Minerva from the University of Milan. And that's the authors of this article. And I think that's where this Perry, Melissa Perry, whatever her name is getting this argument from. And it's a growing argument. I mean, people are, again, you wouldn't even think it's so ghoulish that you wouldn't even think that people think this way. And nobody says anything about this. She should be off the air for making a statement like this. And people just like, oh, well, it just, that's really horrible, but they don't say anything. And again, if you don't stand up and an uproar, cry out that this is so morally depraved for you to say something like this, that you should be off the air, then it's not going to stop. Granted, their ratings are going down the tubes, but I like to hasten her departure, because that's really just over the top. And there are people who listen to this and think it's okay. And the fact that young women are complicit now in an ethically and morally bankrupt argument that it's okay to kill somebody, and it's my right to do it. And to go up for Texas, for example, where they had the big demonstrations, at one point there was a group chanting Hail Satan during this. I don't know if anybody heard about that, but it's absolutely ghoulish. It's just morally just corrupt. And I don't really think it's appropriate to argue for death in that sense. Like, it's okay to kill somebody. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. And it's okay to kill them after they're born. It's my right. Why don't you act responsibly so you don't get pregnant? How come there's nothing about that? I mean, abortion is not birth control. Why isn't somebody punished for that,
you know?
But the arguments are arguing the wrong things, and nobody's speaking up for sanity. The same thing with the Trayvon Martin case. That's an individual case. They're trying to extrapolate that to all black people. How can it be all black people or all white people are evil and nobody should carry a gun? That doesn't make any sense, but it fits an agenda where they want to disarm us, and they're using this case to do it. Quite frankly, they both profiled each other, right? And it wasn't racial, not necessarily. And if it was, it was on both sides. And it's a tragedy. But there's another story. I know that there was an argument that this would never happen if it were a black person shooting a white person. Well, it did happen, and there's actually a case where somebody stood their ground, happened to be a black person, and he was released, just like Zimmerman was. It's time for good people, no matter whether black, white, purple, to stand up for themselves and be able to defend themselves and to argue the point. It's not about, it doesn't make you safer to disarm yourself. It makes you a victim. It makes you easy pickings. And I don't care if it's for another criminal or the government. But that's the bottom line. And that's part of our Constitution. And to say that it needs to be repealed or thrown out, or they're just going around it. And that's a UN thing. So you have a arms treaty that I don't think it's been signed, but they keep circling the wagon on trying to sign it, which would trump our Constitution. That's happening in medicine. It's happening with resources. You know, there's a lot more government land. Government owns more land than any individual in this country, and it's growing. And that's part of Agenda 21. I don't think people know what that is, but that's about getting us moved into cities, away from rural areas where we can be concentrated. And when you're concentrated and disarmed, then you are ripe for control.
Speaking of public lands, it depends on how you look at that and how much this administration has given to China of our public land as interest on the debt. I mean, this is just crazy.
It's not just China. I mean, I've heard that there are toll roads, especially in Texas, where you're paying a toll. It's going to a foreign country. I think it's Spain or somebody who's running those tolls. But that's not coming to American coffers. It's leaving the country. It's like the country's been sold out from underneath us. But if you understand how the UN works, we actually signed on or have a loan from the IMF, right? This happened at the beginning of Obama's presidency. I remember when it happened, and I said to myself, this is not going to be good, because anywhere the IMF goes, it takes your resources, it takes your wealth. It's like a loan shark. You never actually pay the money back. You just start losing things. Look at Greece. They had to sell some of their islands and their treasure to banks because they got owned. And we're in the same position. I mean, you have a $17 trillion debt. You're not self-sufficient and sovereign at that point. Who do you owe that money to? They own you. And maybe this is also a way of, like a vacuum, siphoning the wealth, again, not from the rich to the poor, but from everybody to the government, so that they can pay this, perhaps. I mean, I just throw it out there, I'm not sure. But a sixth of the economy is a lot of money. And that's what Obamacare technically will control, by your taxes, by your mandates, by your, you know, fees. I just read about the tax situation. Again, it's the same argument. They tell us they're doing us a favor and they're going to lower the taxes. Well, look who they lower the taxes for Amazon and Google, etc. But for a small business, the tax actually goes up from 35% to 39%, almost 40%. And so they're dropping the big corporate tax down to, to 28% or something, and for manufacturers down to 25%. But it's like whack-a-mole. So they dropped it for them, and they raised it for small business and individuals. Again, that's the middle class that's going to be socked.
They're killing the middle class. They're killing small business.
But they want to. There's no Small Business Administration, and they shut that down. So they're using the argument, and it's brilliant because people keep falling into the mindset of, take it from Warren Buffett, take it from Bill Gates. They're evil, and they're going to give me the money. They're taking your money. They're taking the middle class money 24/7. How is it possible, if you really think about it, for GE to pay zero tax and for a small business to double pay because you're paying individual tax rate and the corporate tax rate? You're paying for everybody. And it's only going to get worse under this supposed, you know, new deal that they're trying to cook up. But really, it's just going to take more money from people.
People have to wake up. It's, you know, and I don't know if it's going to wake up when they get their checks.
Oh, gosh.
Or when they're going to, if they wake up.
You know, they're now starting, it's divide and conquer, it's distraction. Now the new argument is they want to raise the minimum wage to $14 an hour.
$15.
Well, okay. Well,
almost double. Or over double, actually.
That's just to distract the folks who are getting the minimum wage now, because when you think about the consequences, it means no job, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw the workers from McDonald's got together in a few states and picketed. What can I start?
You know, what I can't get with that is that, you know, they keep saying, well, it's only fair, or the left wing, it's only fair.
Yeah.
Wait a second. One, it's going to put the small business out of business.
Right.
They can't afford it. And, you know, I know a lot of kids. I say I know a lot. There are kids that have graduated from college that are taking the jobs just because they need a job.
Understood. And seniors.
And seniors. Mm-hmm. And at the same token, the people that are raising the stink are unskilled labor.
I know.
And it's not – I don't have anything against them. I'm glad that they're working.
Listen,
and all that.
They should not be making more than somebody who's gone to college and actually has a skill.
Yeah.
This is McDonald's, all right? $14 an hour is ridiculous. And besides, it's never meant to be a job that supports a family of four. Remember when I first opened, it was kids who did part-time work to get money for spending money or college. That's what it's designed to do. So if you give them $14 an hour and it costs you $40 for a hamburger, good luck keeping the thing open. And somebody made a really good point. It's not McDonald's, which everybody considers a big corporate. It's the franchises. And apparently they don't make half as much money. It's $1 million just to open a McDonald's franchise. Maybe it's more now. But they're not making the kind of money that the, quote, McDonald's is making. And you can put those guys out of business really easily, because they're not making this pennies versus thousand, you know, comparatively in their profit. So you're only screwing yourself, basically.
This is the whole economy today is just wrong. You can't do what they're doing, and it's part of the reason that I don't have people. It's part of the reason that people are cutting back. And whenever it cuts back and you cut down on employment, be it part-time or be it full-time, it has the opposite effect. It doesn't build, it destroys.
It absolutely does. And the bottom line is, it's no matter how the government wants to slice it, it is about supply and demand. It's about free market.
Sure.
Anything that's controlled, and this is a controlled economy, centralized planning, it's going to fail. And it's not designed to work. Frankly, it's designed to centralize power and to centralize money with the cronies. They stand to gain, and everybody else is on the outside looking in, but they've managed to work this, like, as a Clower Piven or whatever, I forget the term for this, where you kind of party in your own demise and you're just so distracted into thinking that you're helping yourself and you're screwing somebody else and you're screwing yourself over. I mean, I wouldn't trust the government to do anything for me. They haven't done anything recently right that I can see.
Well, it's sort of like people said yesterday, look at the post office.
Now they're advertising about how fabulous they
yeah.
are. Yeah, okay. But again, this is about celebrity. So if you put it on TV enough and say it enough, then people believe it. That's what they think. I say we stop playing the game. We stop being lemmings, because when we are lemmings, then they double down on hating us more and treating us like crap and then telling us we should like it. That's really what they're saying to us.
Well, with that, we're going to have to end it for the day. You've been listening to Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. As always, thank you, Dr. George.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll be back next week here on America's Web Radio and Medicine on Call.